This is Alicia, and welcome to the College Life Podcast. I am super passionate about education, personal development, growth, and bringing out the best in every college student. This podcast will help motivate you, empower you, and bring you clarity and confidence in who you are, in your purpose, and help you take action toward a life you love. Don't wait until you graduate to live your best life. Let's start now. Welcome to the College Life Podcast. It's Alicia here, and today I am going to be talking about how to get into graduate school and also get it paid for. Before we dive into today's episode, I wanted to just thank you all for listening, for sharing the podcast. If you're a friend out there who is just supporting me because you believe in me or this message, I'm just really grateful for you. Today, I unexpectedly hit 10,000 downloads, and that was really, really cool. And when I first started this podcast, that was not my goal. I really just knew that I had to do it. It was the first time in my life that I felt so pulled. I was so strongly pulled to do something about something that I saw in my students and something that I really cared about. And it was the right timing. It was the right mode of way that I can support more students. It just, everything kind of aligned. And I just want you to know that I wasn't like, oh, I'm going to hit 10,000 downloads one day and that's going to be my dream. It was just that I had to do it. And there wasn't really a goal in mind. And so now I do have goals and I do have things and dreams with this podcast, but I just wanted to share that with you because sometimes if you feel pulled to do something, you just have to start, even though it might not be your forever goal or goals might change and develop. So I just wanted to share that. And I am going to share my new goal is to really, I'm really trying to reach 100,000 downloads. And really what that means for me is it's not about the numbers. It's about who's listening, who is listening out there, who has questions about college, who isn't sure what they want to do, isn't quite confident in what they're working towards or in themselves. That's why I'm here on this earth. And I really feel like college students, there's so many amazing things that are happening for you while you are in college. And that's why I care so deeply about this work. So I just wanted to share that. So if you are getting value from this podcast, please continue to listen. Please continue to share it. And yeah, I just wanted to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. It's a really, really cool to see. And I can't believe that it's happening. So it's really cool. I also just wanted to follow up on the free life coaching application. It is closed. And I just wanted to say thank you all so much to those of you who did complete it. I am actually going to give every person who did complete it some free coaching. And I'm really, really excited about that. And what's kind of surprising, I kind of was expecting a few more to actually complete the application. But I also am not surprised at the same time. So I listened to this guy, Gary Vaynerchuk, and he is kind of this real dose of life, I don't know, around business, around podcasting, around social media in general. And he says that only about 2-5% of folks actually take action. And he's seen that in speaking engagements that he's been in. He really only believes that only like 2-5% of people actually take action. So think about that in a large crowd. People are listening to a motivational speaker. They feel really, really motivated. And then only a handful of them actually go out and do something about it. So I want you to be those people. I want you to really try to challenge yourself here. And in the future, if I offer this again, which I do plan to do in the future, I want to make sure that you apply. And I'd love to actually know why you didn't apply. If you are a current college student and you fit that criteria that I shared before, just message me or email me at thecollegelifecoach@gmail.com. And I'd love to hear where you're coming from. And there are two things that I really want you to take away from listening to this podcast, just every episode, not just this one, that you have to take action. And this is how you make change in your life. This is how it happens. You have to take action even when you aren't sure or you think that it might not work out. You just have to take action. And the second thing is you have to find out what's possible for you. Even in the case with the podcast, I never realized what this could do and what it could be. And if there's something in your life right now that you need a sign for. You've been wanting to talk to your professor about research, but it's just been something on your to-do list that keeps getting moved back. You've been wanting to apply for this really cool opportunity, but you haven't gotten around to it. You've been wanting to go to the Career Center on your campus and talk to somebody about what your goals are and what your dreams are, but you don't really know where to start. You just have to go in and start asking questions. This is your sign. Start it today. This week, you have to do it. Just do it. Stop putting it off. It will help you take the steps forward that you've been wanting to take. And I promise it'll be worth it. And even if it's not, you're going to get one step closer, even though it's not as helpful as you thought it would be. You will hopefully get taken into a different direction. So bottom line, take action, and you have to find out what's actually possible for you. So we're going to start today's episode, and in this episode, I'm going to talk all about how to get into graduate school and how to actually go for free. So we are going to talk about the purpose of graduate school, we're going to talk about the process of getting in, kind of like a checklist of sorts, I guess, and then the third thing we're going to talk about is timeline. These are all incredibly important because you want to know why you're going, you want to know how to get there, and then you also kind of want to know what that timeline is in order to get it paid for. And that's something that I'm really excited about today because I had no clue what the heck I was doing when I was applying to graduate school. So I'm going to tell you that story to start off, and it's why I really care about this episode today. So I graduated with my undergraduate degree, which is my bachelor's degree, which is my first 4 years of college. I graduated, and I had $20,000 in debt. So I go to class one day and my professor starts talking about graduate school. I was first in my family to go to college and a real talk had no clue what the heck he was talking about. And he really, really pushed this and I just didn't really understand why. So it was the first time that I went to office hours. I go to my office hours with him. Shout out to Dr. Kranz at Florida State. He's actually still there and he's amazing. But he really helped me through this process. And he helped me really understand, why am I going to graduate school? Why is it even important for me to go? I ended up applying and I ended up going and it was such a great decision. However, I did not have funding to go, and which means that I took out more loans in order to go to graduate school. And my program was 2 years long. I went to a social work program and I took out $20,000 more. So I graduated with both my master's and my bachelor's degrees with $40,000 total in debt. And I am 33 and still paying that crap off. You know, I'm not angry or anything, but I'm close. I'm getting so close. So I didn't know what graduate school was, like I said. And there are two things that I really, really learned from going and talking to this professor. The first thing that he told me was to start early. And I didn't really, you know, get that. It's kind of like that thing where you hear it over and over and you're like, yeah, I'll start soon. And I honestly just didn't. I didn't listen to him. And it will save you money. So start freaking early. Just start early. It will save you money, I promise. And I know that you have so many other things going on, but if you really want to go to graduate school, you have to make this a priority. It has to be a priority. And you know what? If you have all the money in the world, then you know, you actually don't have to make it a priority. Just apply whatever you want and that's fine. But most of us, you know, let's save some money. So that's the first thing that I learned from him. And the second thing that I learned from him was to study for the GRE. So the GRE is graduate record exam is what it stands for. I will share that link in the show notes. But I like to think of the GRE as it's kind of like the SAT or the ACT to get into your bachelor's degree granting college. So the GRE is to get into graduate school. There are also specific programs that want to specific types of tests. So you've probably heard of the LSAT for law school. You've also probably heard of the MCAT for medical school. There is also the GMAT for business school. So most of you will probably take the GRE, but if you are wanting to go into different types of programs, this is going to be a little bit different conversation today. Some of this stuff is going to ring true, so you can still get value out of this episode, but this is really focused on the GRE. And moving forward, as we talk more about this, I'm going to offer you things to consider, and I'm going to even share some recommendations based on my personal experiences and what I've heard from people, friends, other students that I've seen go through this process. But ultimately, this will be your college, this will be your choice, and this is your life. So don't ever forget that. So this is just a friendly reminder that this is your college, your choice, and this is your life. You have to make it yours. So we're going to start off with purpose and thinking about why are you even going to graduate school? So the first question that I would encourage you to ask yourself is, do you really need it? What is your goal? I'm not even going to say what is your like forever goal. This is really what is your just next goal? Do you want to learn more about a certain topic? Do you really enjoy learning about human development? Do you really enjoy learning about digital marketing? Like if you heard the last episode about self-love, I interviewed Kemi and she loved digital marketing and she wanted to learn so much about it. She described her graduate program as a professional development experience. This should be really fun for you. This should be exciting. And if it's not, I would just probably reconsider. This is 1 or 2 years of your life and you want to make sure that you have a reason for going. And then it's also going to help you either learn something that you really want to learn or help you reach one of your goals. When I first applied to graduate school, I wanted to be a couples counselor. And when I went to go apply, that's what I wrote in my personal statement, which we will get to later. And my goal was to eventually become a licensed counselor, a licensed clinical social worker, and have my own private practice. That is not what I'm doing now. And that's important to note, but that was what my goal was at the time. And it's so cool to look back now because I can definitely see how helpful that degree was for me. It helped me really think through how I work with people. It helped me get interested into research and, you know, what actually works with different people and why. And it really just helped me become the person that I am today. So my master's degree, I'm not even in social work anymore, but obviously there's some links there, right? I care about people. I want to make a difference in the world and positively impact college students. So obviously there are some links there, right? And I also got my bachelor's degree in family and child sciences, which was really about human development. And I'm doing that work right now. So I just want you to see that even though it's not a perfect path, it's still perfect in my sense, I guess, because I followed what I really, really cared about and what I really wanted to learn. So I graduate from my master's degree with $40,000 in debt. And that's going to come back because I started applying to my PhD programs and I applied so freaking differently. I actually listened to my professor, Dr. Kranz, the second time. And he didn't even give me the advice again, but I just learned from, you know, my own $20,000 mistake that I could go to college for free. And I'm like, what the hell? I was so pissed because I didn't know that I could go for free. So when I applied to my PhD programs, I did it so freaking different. And my purpose for going to get my PhD was because I wanted to be a faculty member and I really wanted to learn how to do research. At the time I was coaching college students similar to what I'm doing now. And I really wanted to know what worked and what didn't. And there wasn't much out there in regards to research. So I decided to become that person. And I was like, well, if nobody else is going to research it, I am. And it's been really cool to do that. So that was my purpose for going to get my PhD. And it's so wild because now I want to start a business and really have a bigger impact with college students while also doing life coaching and also potentially consulting. And it's so interesting, but the purpose was so clear at the time and it's molded and changed, but it still is going to help me reach my goals, if that makes sense. So going back to when I was applying, I applied to 5 colleges for my PhD program. I got into 2 of them and then I got waitlisted on 1. And I told myself before I started applying that I was not going to pay for this degree. When I found out that you could get graduate school paid for, I was pissed, y'all, because I had already spent $20,000 on a master's degree. Anyway, I'm over it now, obviously, but bottom line, you don't have to necessarily pay for it on your own. So before we go into the process, I'm going to talk about ways to get it paid for. So in graduate school, you still have scholarships. There's not really grants anymore, but you do have some scholarships. But here's how you get it paid for. There are 3 different things that I've heard around, and one is a graduate assistant, one is a research assistant, and one is a teaching assistant. So a graduate assistant could be somebody that actually just works on a campus. So for me, I actually did work on a campus for my graduate assistant for my PhD. And what happened is I worked for 20 hours a week, and then they paid for my entire tuition. And then I think I had to pay for fees, but they also paid me for the 20 hours a week that I worked. Y'all, it was amazing. Like, seriously, if you can do this, you better do it. So that's a graduate assistantship. There's also research assistants. And as a research assistant, you would be doing research. You would be doing research with a professor. So one of my friends, she got a research assistant. It's called an assistantship. So she got a research assistantship and she just literally did research with a professor and helped her professor design studies, collect data. She got to create her own studies. She published several papers doing that. So it really depends on what type of program and degree that you're going for, but that could be one option. And almost every graduate program has research. So there's really cool opportunities. Like I wasn't ever interested in research, but whenever I got to the master's in social work program, I became fascinated with research and I ended up doing some graphs for a professor for a few hundred dollars. And it was to show the increase or decline in alcohol use for college students nationally, because she was looking at college student alcohol use over time in a national sample. So that was just really cool. I got to see that data and then actually make it visually appealing. So that was kind of my first opportunity to get even connected to research. So there's research assistantships, and there are also teaching assistantships. So I have a friend who's working on her PhD, and she is a teaching assistant, and she basically teaches a few classes and grades those papers, that kind of thing. You've probably experienced a TA if you are at a large school, and all of your TAs are actually graduate students. And so again, they are getting paid 20 hours a week to do that work, but they're also getting their tuition paid, which is such an awesome deal because you're getting teaching experience, you're getting research experience, or you're getting practical experience in the field that you want to go into while also getting your school paid for. It's like a win-win-win. You know, I don't know why everybody doesn't know this because, you know, it's just not common knowledge, but that's the way to do it if you can. Now, there's always a catch with free money, right? And really the catch is that these can be competitive and it really depends on where you go. It depends on what you're looking to do. So that's why whenever you're going, when we're going through the process, which I'm about to talk about, I want you to think about this as a consideration. If you really, really want to get your school paid for, then you are going to have to work at it. Again, starting early is one way to do that. And if you don't listen to that recommendation like I didn't, then you might not get it paid for. And that's just something you have to kind of take with it. So we're going to go over the process and I'm just going to go over a list of a few things that you would need to do in order to get into graduate school. So number one, actually, before I get started, these are not necessarily in order. They kind of are, but these are just different things. I just have them numbered so I can keep track. So the first thing is to explore what you actually want to do next. So this kind of goes back to your purpose. And again, it's not about your forever goal. This is about what you're going to do next after college. So, and after your master's degree, but just explore what your options are. I would start with your current college and look at the different graduate programs that are available. I would hesitate to go to the same graduate school that you went to for undergrad, but sometimes that's the easiest, I guess. Ugh, I don't know. It was so easy for me to do that, and it made me stay in my comfort zone, I guess. And it's just something to consider for sure. If you can go elsewhere, I would. And it also gives you an excuse to move, try something new, try a different location, a different place in the world. So it's just something to consider. So the first thing you want to do is explore what you want to do next. What different types of programs are you looking at? And then the second to that is explore the different programs specifically. So I would say exploring this in locations and also exploring different types of programs. So let's say I am a multi-passionate person and I'm not sure what I want to do long term, which actually perfectly describes who I am. And I would imagine a few listeners. So shout out to multi-passionate people. So you want to explore different types of programs. So for example, when I was looking at PhD programs, I was actually trying to debate if I wanted to do higher education, which is an entire field in and of itself, which is working for colleges, or did I really want to do family relations and really study families and relationship dynamics? And I wasn't quite sure. So basically, if I wasn't quite sure, I could apply to both types of programs. I'm not recommending that at all for a PhD. Please do not do that for a PhD because you really want to be a little bit more focused. It's such a huge commitment and takes so much freaking work. But for a master's program, it can be helpful to do this just to look at the different types of programs and to narrow it down. So again, I'm not telling you to apply to a business degree and a social work degree and a human development degree and a communications degree and a public speaking master's degree. I don't even know if those exist, but you get what I'm saying. Like, you don't want to just apply to all of those, but I'm just saying just explore all of those at first to really see what actually is drawing you in the most. And I actually, for my master's program, I did not take into account location. I guess I did. I only looked at Florida State as my only option. I wouldn't recommend that. I would recommend applying to multiple schools so you have some options, and in case you don't get into, you know, the one that you're at currently. And for my PhD, I actually applied to places that I wanted to live and move to. My husband and I are first in our families to graduate from college. We didn't really have a lot of opportunities to travel growing up, and so we are actually using our education as a way to travel. It gave us an excuse to explore the country, and we're doing that. So it's kind of how we got to Colorado, because I was looking at programs here, and I was like, wow, Colorado, I'd love to move there, and I really liked this program. And then I got in, and then I got an assistantship, and it just started working out really perfectly. Again, the first one is to explore what you want to do next, and the second one is to explore different types of programs, and you want to look at locations and then different types of programs within those schools. Number three is that you want to explore the professors at those programs. What are professors researching? What are the classes that they are teaching? When you look at their profiles online, does it excite you, or does it sound boring as hell? Because that's important to know. Also, what do people who graduate from that college in that program actually end up doing? That's going to actually help you explore different options for careers, but it's also going to just be interesting to you to see what else is out there that you may not know about. Number four is to create a timeline. And everyone's will look a little bit differently, but you really want to pay attention to the deadlines that schools have. And this is so important because of that funding that I mentioned earlier. So the graduate assistant, the research assistant, and the teaching assistant, you really have to apply at those priority deadlines in order to be eligible for those. Now, does that mean that it's not possible if you miss that deadline and there's a second deadline? Of course not. It could still be possible, but you are more likely to be offered an assistantship if you apply early. And that's why it's so important to backwards plan. So if you wanted to go in fall 2020 to graduate school, there are some graduate programs that have deadlines as early as November 1st, which is coming up close if you are listening to this when it releases. So if that was the case, and you decided that you wanted to go to graduate school in fall 2020, you would have to start getting your stuff together right now. And I'm not even sure if it would be possible, because you do have to have letters of recommendation and all these other things to the school. But you have to look at that, and you really have to backwards plan in order to make this happen and actually get it paid for. So number five is study for and take the GRE. So I mentioned the GRE earlier, and this was something that my professor encouraged me to do, and I brushed it to the side. So do this early and actually study for it, y'all. Like, real talk, you have to study for it. And I didn't realize how important it was to learn how to take the test. So just make sure that you are getting study materials and they are actually investing in it. I am not the best standardized test taker. Okay, I'm really, really bad at it, but I did eventually get better. But I had to take it multiple times, and that is not cheap. So I don't recommend that at all. If you can help it, just take it the one time. But again, you might have to study for it. But there are practice tests that I would recommend online. There are usually opportunities on your campus to go take the practice test for free through like the testing things like Kaplan and Princeton Review. Then they try to sell you their product. But what you could do is just take the free test and then peace out, get your results, and see what you need to focus on the most. Also, a lot of times your libraries will have free books that you can just check out and do practice problems, and they have the answers in there, so you can check your work and see if you actually know what you're doing. I would probably just invest in a $30 Kaplan or Princeton Review book, because you can log in online and do the practice exams there, and you have a ton of practice problems that you can do. So anyway, it's just something that you want to do, is invest in studying for the GRE. And you want to make sure that you take it in enough time, so that way if you don't do well, that you still have enough time to take it again before your applications are due. Number six is letters of recommendation. So this is why it's really important for you to start building relationships with your professors and other folks on campus right now. So typically when you ask for a letter of recommendation, you want to ask for a strong letter of recommendation. you know, ask that person if they are able to give you a strong letter of recommendation. You want to give them at least 3 weeks to do their letter of recommendation, which is why if you wanted to apply for November 1st deadline, it's going to be pretty challenging for you to actually get letters of recommendations complete before the deadline. The building relationships with faculty, let me know if you don't really know how to do that. We can talk about that. I actually recorded an episode on office hours, which I can link in the show notes as well, but how to really make the most of those office hours, but that's a good way. Other places that you can get letters of recommendation are your work. They'll talk about your work ethic, right? But they're not going to talk about your academics and your work ethic in the classroom. And that's really what graduate schools want to hear. They want to hear that you're able to do graduate level work. And it's hard for somebody to write you a letter if they have only seen you work at a restaurant, for example. So it's just something to consider, but you usually need 2 or 3 letters of recommendation. Number 7 is personal statement. This is a way for you to tell your story and also share why you are interested in this program and why you are interested in that field. Again, this is where you get to shine and really share your story. I highly, highly, highly recommend that you get this and your resume, which is next. So your personal statement is number 7. Number 8 is your resume. You want to get those done soon, and then you want to make sure that at least one person looks at this. And ideally, this is one of your professors. This is one person at career services at your school. Do not send it without having at least one person look at it. They will find a mistake, but they can also help you make it better. So make sure that you do that. With a resume, I want to also mention this is why what you do right now, again, this semester, it's why it matters so much. You don't want to get to your senior year and then realize, uh-oh, I don't have anything on my resume. Cool, I'm only going to have my degree on my resume. You want to have more than that. So that's why it's so important for you to start building different experiences in college to make sure that you can be competitive for not only graduate schools, but also careers after graduate school. Or if you are just looking to get a job after college, you're going to need that resume as well. So the resume was number 8. Number 9 is transcripts. So this is like a very logistical thing, but you just have to make sure that you get your transcripts from your current school to the school that you're applying to. And sometimes that can cost money. So it's just important for you to remember to do. And sometimes it can take a long time too. That's why it's starting early and making sure that you have a timeline to do all of these things. Number 10 is sometimes schools will ask for a writing sample. I didn't actually have that in my master's program when I applied. I did when I went to my PhD, which kind of makes a little bit more sense. But that could be a paper that you've written in class or something like that. Don't take that too seriously. Just make sure that you get it in and that it's a decent paper. So number 11 is interviews. If you are applying for those graduate assistants, teaching assistant, research assistant, sometimes you will have interviews for those. And sometimes you'll have interviews to get into the program. I didn't actually have that for my master's program, but I did for my PhD. And I've heard several of my friends have had them for their master's program. So you just want to be prepared for that, especially if you want to compete for those different assistantships. Usually interviews are to make sure that you are a good fit for that program, that you have an interest in that field, and that you can kind of bring something to their program. And number 12 is when you actually get to make a decision. So we went through all of these steps and you haven't even decided that you're going yet. And this is really important because you can go through this process and then you might not get in. Or maybe you apply to 3 or 5 schools and you get into 2 of them. And then maybe neither of them offer you funding. Well, that's a decision that you have to make, right? Ideally, you'll at least have 1 school that you're going to get into and you're going to get funding. But this is where you get to make that decision, right? You get to decide, is it worth it for you to take out thousands of more in student debt? Or are you going to wait a year and try to apply again, get some work experience and make your application stronger for the next year? You have a lot of options here, but the important thing is that you get to decide what those options are. If you really want to go to graduate school, I know that these things that I'm telling you are going to help you, but you have to actually put the work in. So the last thing I want to focus on and really, really highlight is the timeline. So I want to go over the process really quick again, just so you have them in a quick way to remind you. But the first thing is to explore what you actually want to do next. The second thing is to explore different programs, and that means locations and types. Number 3, explore what professors are actually doing, what they're working on, what they're researching. Number 4, create a timeline. Number 5, study for and take the GRE. Number 6, get those letters of recommendation. Number 7, get your personal statement and share your story. Number 8, make sure that your resume is on point. Number 9, get you those transcripts in. Number 10, complete your writing sample. Make sure that you upload that if they're asking for one. Number 11 is actually engage in interviews. And number 12 is make the decision. So I'm going to go back to number 4 and really talk about this timeline because, again, if you really want to get school paid for, you're going to have a strong timeline. You're going to have to know when your deadlines are and be prepared to get all of this stuff in before that deadline. But this is a great skill that you need to have in order to get into graduate school and actually do well in graduate school. You have to know how to backwards plan because you're going to have big projects, you're going to have big papers, you're going to have different things that you have to do and manage. So basically, you're just practicing for graduate school. So go ahead and get ready. Start planning. Let me know if you have any questions. If you like listen to this and you're like, oh my gosh, I have no clue. This is why a plan is so helpful because you want to write this stuff down and get it out of your head because it can feel very overwhelming if you're just listening to this. So write this stuff down. I'm going to have the list of 12 things that I talked about in the episode. I'm going to link those in the show notes so that way you can actually see them and refer back to them. But the most important thing is to create a timeline that fits you, your schedule, your priorities, your interests, and let's make this happen. Thank you all again for listening. I so appreciate you. This was way longer than I thought it was, but I hope that it was helpful. If you have any questions about graduate school, maybe I forgot something and I want to make sure that you feel good that you can actually do this. Email me at thecollegelifecoach@gmail.com or send me a message on Instagram. I'm pretty quick on there. Let's just start a conversation and see how I can help you. Don't forget to share this podcast with a friend if it was helpful for you. Also subscribe so you don't miss the next one, and I will catch you in the next one. Have an excellent week.